Going live. Although ever since Dave said what he said, go live, I can never read it any other way. Okay. I'm sure that at some point, at some time, you've heard the statement, follow your heart. When it comes to decisions, when it comes to your future, about where you want to go, what you want to do, sometimes somebody will say, follow your heart. Go where your heart leads you. One of the quotes I've got says this: it's never too late to follow your heart. Start something you've always wanted to do. It doesn't matter what you think is holding you back. Let's call them what they are: excuses. It shouldn't matter if other people are doing it already or nobody's doing it. The only question that matters is whether or not what you're doing makes you happy. Somebody said, from my own experience, I want to say that you should follow your heart, and the mind, your mind, will follow you. Believe in yourself and you will create miracles. How about this one? You can do anything as long as you don't stop believing. When it is meant to be, it will be. You just follow your heart. So if you follow your heart, you can do anything. If you follow your heart, you can create miracles. If you follow your heart, you get to do the things that make you happy. But is that all there is? It can sound good, and you know, it's one of these sayings that people sort of, oh yeah, I like that. But there is darker sides to the whole thing. It depends how old you are, but you might have come across the name of Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay, he was a serial killer in America. All told, he killed 17 people. Didn't just kill them, he mutilated them, and at a later stage, he actually started eating them. He followed his heart. What did make him happy? Killing people. That made him happy. So perhaps following your heart isn't all it's cracked up to be. But the question is, does following your heart make you happy? Is the whole purpose of being happy doing something that really engages you? Is it something that you've longed for? And once you do it, then you'll achieve happiness and hey presto, everything's sorted. Let's face it, most of us lack the means and probably the opportunity to do whatever we'd like to do. You see the adverts on TV, you hear them on radio, you know, play the whatever lottery, stick whatever name you like in front of it, but it's a lottery. And you can have the millions to accomplish your dreams. One of the adverts I heard said, why, if you win this lottery, you could even buy your own personal island. Maybe that would make you happy. Depends which island it is. There's some islands that are very wet. There's some that are beautiful and sunny. But let's face it, few actually get the opportunity to put that into practice. But how about listening to somebody who actually had the opportunity? A guy called Solomon in the Old Testament was one of the richest people in the world of his time. Israel at that point was situated in between the centers of Asia and Egypt, and trade passed through Israel. And to pass through their land, they paid a tax. See, taxes are not new, but they paid. And he just basically sat there owning this land, and people sort of went across it and paid him for the benefit. So he was very rich. It tells us that he decorated his palace with gold and other things like silver. It says, well, they were just sort of very, very easy to obtain because he was so rich. But listen to what he said. He says, everything I wanted, I took. I never said no to myself. I gave in to every impulse. I held back on nothing. In fact, in the Message version, it puts it like this. It says, I sucked the marrow of pleasure out of the bones. I took it as my reward for all my hard work. And what's his comment after all that? He said, well, I took a good look at everything I'd done. I looked at all the sweat and hard work. And when I looked, I saw nothing. It was just smoke. Smoke and spitting into the wind. There was nothing to any of it. Nothing. And yet how many aspire to owning everything so much so that they can do whatever their heart wants? But from somebody who actually did that, he says, it's not worth it. But the question that comes is, can our hearts actually mislead us? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. We actually can deceive ourselves, and our heart can be at the root of it. It's the natural human condition that we want the easy way, the straightforward way, something that just sort of falls into our lap without the hard work. If you give people the choice, you know, there's this way which is hard and that way which is easy, we'll always go the easy way, won't we? But our hearts are limited by what we know. Our hearts are limited by our experience. Our hearts are limited by what we've seen. And our hearts are limited by what we can imagine. So the happiness that we pursue might actually be something that would sell us short, because there's actually more to it than that. Our hearts are limited, and at the end of the day, are one perspective. And how many times have we been surprised by somebody else's point of view? We hear something, and we come to the conclusion that this is the way it is, and somebody says, oh, well, I didn't see it like that. It was like this. How surprised can we be? You know, in the late 19th century, rationalism had taken over. Great progress had been made, advancements in every area. There was great hope for the future. Mankind was actually dominating creation, doing really well. It was such a big, bright, bold future. And 14 years into the new century, we had the brutality of World War I. Unimagined horror, because all that creativity was unleashed in destructive power. What was in the heart? A comment in Genesis chapter 6, God speaking says that he saw the great wickedness of the human race. Every inclination of the thought of the human heart was evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. The hearts were leading people astray. They were doing what they wanted, and it wasn't going well. We might not like the judgment that everything was evil, but what standard are we working to? Our heart can have its own standard, but who says that's the right standard? You know, if you're measuring something, you have to work to a standard. In many ways, the time clocks that we see around us first started off because of the trains. The train would set off from the station at whatever time, and if it got to the other station that said it was going to take an hour, but they were working to a different time, well, it might not arrive at 8 o'clock when it had set off at 7, and they said the journey was an hour. So they had to regulate and have a standard time. And we can have standards that aren't true, that don't line up with everybody else's, and definitely don't line up with God's. Because he has got the divine standard, and that's the standard we need to work to. In Proverbs 21 verse 2 it says, a person may think that their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. We might think that what we're doing is good, proper, okay for us, okay by everybody else, but it isn't necessarily the case. You see, God judges from a different perspective. He works with ultimate right and wrong. And God sees the teachers through his word the right path, give us the direction, lead us in the right way, to give us the standard so we can be working to a known standard that really fits everything. When people pass the driving test, they have to reach a certain standard of driving. Now, obviously, to pass the test, you can be above that standard, but you can't be below that standard. But it's a well-known fact that people's driving, after they take the test, actually deteriorates. We become a bit lazy. We don't always do things as we should. You know, one of the things that you need to do when you're learning to drive is learn to drive at a fixed speed, so that if you're in a 30 mile an hour zone, you can drive at 30 without just being glued to the speedometer. But I remember a friend at work saying, "Oh, if I have to drive at 30 mile an hour and avoid being zapped," he says, "all I'll be doing is watching the speedo." But one of the basic things they teach you is to drive at a speed. But we let that slip. Our attention perhaps isn't always on what we should be looking at. And let's admit it again. We all like the easy way, and we can become lazy, slipshod. We can get away with it, but maybe it's not right. And ironically, so often in that situation, we think we're doing all right. In fact, we think we're probably better. In fact, if you ask most people about their driving, they think that they're above average. Most people can't be above average, otherwise that's not average. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, God says this, "Be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Also, teach them to your children and their children after them." Don't let it fade. Things that aren't attended to, we forget. You know, at work, working in the computer section, you work with different operating systems. Sometimes it's Windows, sometimes it's Apple, sometimes it's Ubuntu or Linux, things like that. But you know, if you don't use a language, an operating system frequently, you come back to it and you think, "oh, what was that? I've forgotten." Because it fades. It needs vigilance. It needs care. Otherwise, those things fade and we lose them. Right, I'm going to ask you a question and it needs a show of hands. This will show you your age. Who's ever used a fax? Oh, maybe it doesn't. James is one of the youngest and he's used a fax. Okay, just in case you don't know, a fax is the old way before email, etc. And what used to happen, you would scan a page, a picture, or whatever, and then the scanner would send it down the telephone line. Okay, and then it would be printed out. Now, it's printed out onto thermal paper. The thing is that faded. I had a friend at work who was involved with selling machines, and he used to get the invoices through on faxes. And he was horrified one day because he kept all these faxes neatly filed away in the drawer. And he opened this drawer, took out the invoice, and it was blank. Because it was just a printed fax. Rather than sort of getting the fax then printing it, he just got the fax and stuck it in. And then he went through and they were in various stages of just fading away. Because he hadn't taken care to make sure there was a more permanent record. So there he was with hopefully all his machine invoices, and at the end of the day he'd only got half of them left. But we can be like those faxes. If we don't work at it, the things that we learn, the things that we know, can just fade away. We can read God's word, we can try and absorb God's word, but if we don't refresh it, it will fade away. And God says, be careful to not let these things fade away, because they're important. And if you don't attend to them, they will just vanish. The word of God is important, but if we don't read it, then it will fade from our memory. In Psalm 81, verses 11 to 12, this is what it says. "My people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Maybe you, like me, have seen people, you've tried to advise them, you tried to help them, but ultimately they've just said no. So at the end of the day, it's a case of, well, in that case, you've had the warning, you've been told what's right, but if you really want to go that way, then that's up to you. And God says here that he left them okay with warnings, with instructions, with commands. But the people refused to obey. And at the end of the day, God said, in that case, away you go. In instances like that, where the instructions, the warnings are correct, people find out the hard way. We can have the wrong values. We don't value what God has said. We value, rather, what our heart says. And our heart can be far from the real standard. What do we value? What do we think is the best? Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." What do we value? Because that will determine what our hearts want to do. That will determine where our hearts want us to go. With the wrong value, we can head off in the wrong direction. With the wrong value, we can have the wrong affections. We can even value what is harmful and bad. We see people so often who are addicted to different things, but they value what they get from the addicted substance rather than being without it. They can have warnings, they can have instruction, they can have direction, but they value what other people do not, and that value is wrong. It's actually destructive. Playing the guitar can hurt. It's not a big hurt. You know, it's like, oh, it's terrible. Well, maybe if you're listening to it, it is. I don't know. It depends how good you are at the end of the day. But as Carl was saying to me, he's not played for a while and he's taken up the guitar again. And his fingers hurt. You see, with the smaller strings, they're very thin, and the metal strings actually tend to start to try and cut into your finger. And the natural response at that point is to try and hold the string with your finger like that. But that doesn't work. The only way you can do it is with your finger straight down on the end, and that does hurt, especially with the smaller strings. So what happens over time is the skin on the end of your fingers becomes calloused. So even with the smallest strings, you can hold them down, you can hold them down for a while, and all it does is put a small dent in. But you know, working as I do in engineering, what I've found is that this hand with the fingers that are calloused can't actually feel very small items. If I put my left hand in somewhere that's blind that I can't see, can't feel it. There's a number of times I've put my hand in, forgetting which hand I'm using, and as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing there. But you put the right hand in, and then you can feel the small nuts, the screws, or whatever. And God says in Matthew 13, verse 15, that these people's hearts are calloused. Their hearts have become hard. They got so used to not working with God that not only have God's instructions faded, but their hearts have become calloused, so they're no longer responsive to God. He says that they hardly hear with their ears, and they've actually closed their eyes. We need to have hearts that haven't got calluses on. And the fact of the matter is that though pain may not be very nice, it actually protects us. If we get burnt, boy, you can move really fast. You'd be surprised just how fast your fingers will retreat from something that's hot. Unless it's incredibly hot. There was one time I was doing some welding, and even now I just can't believe how stupid I did. But there you go. I was welding a joint. It was white hot, so it would be about 1200, 1300 degrees centigrade, something like that. Then I moved away to another joint, and I thought, oh yeah, I need to go there, but I can't reach it properly. I need to move this frame, and I just reached up and grabbed the bit that I'd welded. The first thing I thought was, that's a funny smell. And then the pain hit me. But the pain makes you withdraw. It says, don't do that. That's a bad idea. You know, the big problem with leprosy is not so much the disease, but the result that it has on people, because what it does is it affects the nerves and the feelings. So that if people knock themselves, I've got a bruise on my arm, I walked into a door, that was stupid, but I sort of backed off. But if I'd got leprosy in that arm, that knock, that bump, it wouldn't have registered. And so things that are hot don't create pain, so you don't let go, and there's damage. So walking into something doesn't cause you an issue, and you ignore it. Pain protects, but with a calloused heart, there's no feeling, and there's no pain. And if we're following a calloused heart, we can't hear clearly. So what's the answer? Psalm 51 verse 10 says this, create in me a pure heart, O God. Create in me a pure heart. A cry to God, because we become aware of the need. In Ezekiel 36:26, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove your heart of stone. He's talking about having a fresh heart, a heart that's soft, a heart that's tender, a heart that actually can hear what God's saying, so that the heart can be refreshed. God at work in us to renew, God at work in us to restore feeling, so that we become aware, so that we have that sensitivity, so we do feel pain, a pain that actually guides us to do the right thing. A pain that protects, a pain that warns us that this is a bad path, a pain that says God is speaking to you and what you're doing is not good. And so we move, and so we are able to respond in the appropriate way so that we are protected. In Jeremiah 31 verse 33, this is what God says, I will make a covenant with these people. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. If my friend with the facts had actually, well, he could have done one or two things. Obviously, he can just get a photocopy, which is a more permanent thing. But if that just written over the top of the writing, it would have been preserved. And God says that he will put his law in our hearts. As we read his word with a soft heart, a tender heart, a responsive heart, then that law doesn't fade. It's there. And as that law is there, it helps us to respond to him. In Deuteronomy it says, fix these words of mine in your heart. Don't let them fade. Work at it. Let these words be a guide. Let them be things that point out the right way. God has created us all. God's created everything. God knows how it works. God knows the best way, the best path. Our heart doesn't necessarily know the best path. We can't see what's coming around the corner. We can't see what's coming tomorrow. But God knows it all. He understands it all. And he is able to direct us. We need to appreciate, value, and apply the instructions that he gives us. We need to be people who, when we've heard, don't just follow our heart, but we follow the voice of God, who speaks to our heart. He can illuminate our hearts. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge. God wants to illuminate us, so we're not just guided by our heart, we're not just following the wrong standard, but we can see things as they truly are, see things as they really, in truth, exist. You know, it's a saying that the truth is the whole. You can't just take a little part and assume that that covers everything. I've got freckles. Some of them are quite dark, but most of me is quite white. But you know, if you zoomed in and you just looked at the freckle and said, that's your skin colour, well, you're right for that bit, but that's not the entire thing. So if you assumed that I was quite this dark brown, you'd be wrong. Because the truth is the whole. And what you're focusing in on is only a very small part. And our hearts can only focus in on a very small part. God sees the whole picture and speaks to us accordingly. Are we following the full picture? Because if we follow our heart, we're missing so very, very much. God isn't limited to just now. We need to leave the old ways, the old values. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time, and he set eternity in the human heart. With eternity in our heart, this revelation from God, we have an appreciation of a new realm. If we leave out the spiritual side of things, we're missing so much. If we leave out eternity, we're missing so much. If we're following our hearts and our hearts are not using these things, then we miss so much. A new heart, a new purpose, a new horizon, a new revelation, the fresh sorting out from God of how things really are. Paul prays for the Ephesians and says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. There is so much in store with God, so much more than we could imagine, because what he can do is more than we can imagine. There's so much more available, so much more than our hearts could ever understand. What has God got in store? Who are we following? Who are we listening to? Our hearts or God? What are we living for? Will we settle for less? God can give us new heart desires. New heart desires that are better than we could ever, ever imagine. It says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Once we're refocused, once we're re-established, once we're renewed, we will have new desires and God will give us those. There's so much available with God, but we need a new heart to appreciate everything that there is. Don't follow your heart, because there's so much more than your heart could ever know. Don't follow your heart, follow God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen.